In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our perseverance family on this Sunday, which we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Great to be with all of you on this Sunday, which we celebrate our Lord's triumph over death. Every Sunday is a mini Easter, we might even say. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. So, as always, we'd like to start off our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the mother of the church, and Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Every time we pray the Hail Mary, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. That's right. We invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to give us the joy of the risen Christ. As we pray the prayer that she loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful, wonderful names or titles. And among which would be the Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our consoler, as well as our counselor. Holy Spirit also is our interior master. Our interior master. St. Paul in the letter to the Romans says, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans. So we can say Abba. Abba, which means Daddy or Father. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to come to be with us, to give us a lot of light in our intellect and the fire of divine love to burn within our hearts as we pray together. As we pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. And thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, Grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in His consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Lawrence Brindisi, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hachu, my friends, a family that prays together stays together, and a world at prayer is a world at peace. It's great to be with all of you on the Sunday in which we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. After praying with you, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you in the greatest of all prayers. And that prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. No greater prayer in the world than the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And I'd like to pray for you and place you on the altar offering several intentions. First, I'd like to pray that all of us would be open. All of us would be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That we be open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. As we pray, this is a prayer we can offer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come to the heart of Mary. My next intention would be I'd like to pray in a special way for our families, for the conversion, for the sanctification and the salvation of our families. Our Lord says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And then I'd like to pray in a special way for those who will be dying sometime today. Those who will be dying sometime today. That they would die in God's peace and friendship. Those are our prayers today. intentions I'd like to place on the altar for all of you. So, my friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Every time we pray the Our Father, we say, give us this day our daily bread. As Catholics, we can interpret, give us this day our daily bread, to have a hunger for the Word of God, as Jesus said to the devil. Man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. And we should have a real hunger for the bread of life. So there, remember when I was studying in Rome, my professor said that the Protestants have the pulpit, where they preach the Word of God, they sing the Word of God, they try to memorize the Word of God, they try to learn the Word of God. We have the pulpit, but also we have the altar. We have the Word of God, but we have also the altar. We nourish ourselves by listening to the three readings in the homily. And then we also nourish ourselves on the bread of life. John chapter 6, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, but they died. Do not seek the food that perishes, but seek the food that brings everlasting life. So today, the very heart of Sunday, John Paul II calls Sunday the Day of the Lord and Family Day. The Day of the Lord and Family Day. Let us delve into the infinite riches, my friends, of the Word of God. On Sunday, we have the privilege of nourishing ourselves on three readings. Three readings as well as the responsorial psalm. So the first reading is from Jeremiah, the responsorial psalm is Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. And we have the beautiful reading from St. Paul to the Ephesians. We've drawn close to God by the blood of Christ that he shed for us. Then we're in the sixth chapter of St. Mark. We see Jesus and the apostles very busy, engaged in the apostolic ministry, preaching and teaching and healing and exercising. They're working so hard that they don't even have enough time to eat. And our Lord says to them, come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. To rest a while. So there we have a eagle's eye vision, a panoramic vision of the three readings today. So we start with the prophet Jeremiah. Prophet Jeremiah, my friends, speaks about shepherds. And it's kind of a reproach on shepherds that are really not tending their flock. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd par excellence. But also we can interpret the shepherds in another light. We want to always pray for the Holy Father. He is the universal shepherd of the flock of the world. We want to pray for the bishops and archbishops. They are the shepherds of their diocese. We want to pray for priests and pastors. They're the shepherd to their parishes. But also we would like to pray in a very special way for you who are parents. Most of you are parents. You are the shepherds of your flock, the shepherds of your children. And let's beg the Lord for mercy and reparation for the many times that we have not lived up to our responsibility. Times in which, instead of being a good shepherd, maybe we've been lazy and negligent and derelict in our duty. That's right. So we want to tell the Lord we're sorry for the times in which we've been remiss, we've been derelict or negligent in our duty. And starting today, all of us are called to be shepherds in one way or another. Pray that we would be responsible, not negligent, but we would be responsible. Responsible. Good shepherds to our sheep. It's interesting that John Paul II wrote a document taken from this whole concept. And the name of the document of John Paul II is, it's called Pastoris Daba Vobis. Pastor Daba Vobis. In this, the Holy Father speaks about the priestly formation. And this coming Saturday, we'll have two of our deacons, oblates, who will be ordained to the priesthood. Jorge Sanchez, who's from our parish, and Jonathan Hanks, they will both be ordained as priests in the parish of St. Peter Chanel. So pray for them. Pray for them as they prepare for this all-important day in their lives, to be ordained priests forever according to the order of Melchizedek. You might even read that document of John Paul II, Pastores Dabo Vobis. Pastores Dabo Vobis. It's on priestly formation. Then reflecting upon the first reading, we have the most famous and loved psalm in the whole Bible. And that is the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23. The antiphon is, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want." The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. In green pastures, he gives me repose. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. One idea from this. One idea from this. We all go through moments of desolation in our lives. That's right. We all go through moments of desolation in our lives, where it seems as if our faith is not as strong as it used to be, nor our hope, nor charity. We feel a little bit discouraged, a little bit of sadness. Life doesn't seem to have any meaning. We don't seem to be going forward in our lives, but either in a standstill or we seem to be drifting downstream. We feel that even maybe people don't really understand us or really care that much for us. Our life doesn't seem to have any orientation. We're kind of walking in no man's land without a compass, without purpose. We all go through this. This is called a state of desolation. Now, as Father Tim Gallagher always points out, we shouldn't be discouraged. We're in desolation. We shouldn't, Father Tim says, we shouldn't be ashamed that we're going through this, because this is part of the human condition. But we have to know how to react to this in a positive way. And one way we can overcome desolation when we're experiencing this real loneliness and abandonment is perhaps to go into our room, close our door, and read prayerfully, meditate upon Psalm 23, which is the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. And recognize that you're not alone. I was given this as a birthday gift a couple years ago. Here we have one of my favorite paintings. See, here's a good shepherd, and the sheep is lost. But the good shepherd does not abandon us. Rather, the good shepherd goes after us. He seeks us out. One of my favorite paintings. We are that sheep that is lost at times. The vulture is over, but Jesus is there about to rescue the sheep. The beauty of nature, too. So, when we're going through the dark valley, go into the quiet of your room. If you have that picture, so much the better. But go in the quiet of your room and pray calmly, prayerfully, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In green pastures, he gives me repose or rest. Beside restful waters, he leads me. He refreshes my soul. He guides me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I have to walk through a dark valley, that dark valley means the dark valley of desolation that we just mentioned, I fear no evil, for you are at my side. You're at my side with your rod and your staff. The rod and my staff. We see the Lord has his rod and his staff. These give me courage. The rod protects and defends us against our enemies, the wolves or the devils that can attack us at times. You spread the table before me. That table, my friends, what is that table? That could actually be the altar. In the sight of my foes. Our three principal enemies are the devil, the flesh, and the world. The devil is the father of lies. The flesh does not want to obey the spirit. And the world wants to convince us that we can find true happiness here and now. Here and now. Here and now. So, those are the enemies that I'd interpret in the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. You anoint my head with oil. You anoint my head with oil. My friends, we've been anointed with oil. When we're baptized, what do we have? We're anointed with the oil of the catechumens. That's right. We're anointed with the oil of the catechumens. Also, after baptism in the same ceremony, we're anointed with an oil called chrism, in which the priest or the minister that baptizes says, I anoint you as priest, prophet, and king. We anoint you as priest and prophet and king. Priests were called to offer up sacrifices in reparation for our sins and the sins of others. Prophet were called to preach the word of God to the whole world. Jesus said, go out to the whole world and teach them all I taught. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I'll be with you always, even until the end of the world. Priest, prophet, and king. We have to govern. We have to govern our own passions and not let our passions govern us. Otherwise, we become slaves. We're called to the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. And also, our kingly role, Jesus is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Jesus, who's the Lord and God, said that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life in ransom for many. Mary said, I am the handmaid of the Lord, the servant of the Lord. Be done to me according to thy word. So this anointing in baptism, the first is the oil of catechumens, which is a type of exorcism. It's a type of exorcism. But then the oil, the chrism, highlights the fact that we participate in the life of Christ, trying to imitate Christ as the high priest. We have what is called the ministerial priesthood and the priesthood of the faithful. Prophet, we're called to preach the word of God by word and by example. King, to govern and dominate our passions so that we can be of service to others. My friends, what we're doing is right now I'm commenting upon the most famous psalm in the world, which is the Psalm of the Good Shepherd, which is a beautiful psalm, the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. You anoint my head with oil. There's another anointing. Once we're confirmed, my friends, we're confirmed, usually by the bishop, and the bishop will mark our forehead with chrism. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you and also with you. Upon confirmation, when we are confirmed, then the bishop says, once we're confirmed, we're called, my friends, are you ready now? We're called to defend our faith. We're called to spread our faith. That's right. That's what the bishop says. We're called to defend our faith. We're called to spread our faith. Maybe you can do that with me. We're called to defend our faith. and we're called to spread our faith. That presupposes, my friends, if we're called to defend our faith and spread our faith, there's a presupposition that we know our faith. Presupposition that we know our faith, we understand our faith, but we're also trying to live our faith. Because if we try to profess our faith, but we're really not living it, there's a certain amount of hypocrisy in that. We're living a double life. We are living a double life. That's what we're called. We're called to defend our faith and spread our faith. Once we're confirmed, my friends, we have the anointing with the Holy Chrism again. It's not that we don't have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Quite the contrary. In baptism, we receive the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. However, those gifts, in the sacrament of confirmation, they're fortified all the more. That's right. These gifts, they're fortified all the more. Now, these gifts are the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Honestly, the highway to holiness, my friends, the highway to holiness is being open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The highway to holiness is being open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Highway to holiness, being open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit, my friends, let's pray that these gifts would become, they would blossom and flourish in our lives and overflow in our dealings with others. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are wisdom, knowledge, understanding. They perfect the intellect. Counsel. They connect the mind to the heart. Fortitude, interior strength, for patience, piety, filial love for God and love for our brothers and sisters, and fear of the Lord, which is related to humility, because we're all very weak and we can fall any time in any place. We want to not rely upon ourselves, but rely upon God, because our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Not self-reliance, but God-reliance. We want to rely upon the Lord for everything in our lives. So that fear of the Lord is very important for us, because we rely upon God's strength, not our own. And then the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. He says, He says, my cup overflows. There are many interpretations of my cup overflows. That cup can refer to chalice, and that can refer to the Eucharist. That's right, it can refer to the Eucharist. Cup, chalice, Eucharist. Now lift up the chalice, the cup of the Lord, and invoke the name of the Lord as we have in one of the Psalms. My cup overflows. So as they're terminating the Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis, the very focus and center of the Eucharistic Congress was the Mass and the Eucharist, Holy Communion, as well as the body and blood of Christ. My cup overflows. St. Augustine, quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, says, Jesus hungers that we hunger for him. He thirsts that we thirst for him. And then, the last part of Psalm 23, beautiful psalm, I encourage all of us to pray it, but especially it might be opportune that we pray it when we're going through our own dark valleys. We're going through our own desolation. We're all going through our own weak periods. We're going through our weak periods. Is we want to pray this prayer with a lot of trust. Recognize that we're never alone, because the Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Then the conclusion of this beautiful psalm, the Good Shepherd, which is the most well-known psalm in the Bible, is only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. How consoling. Another psalm says, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life. May we, when we receive the bread of life, experience the goodness and kindness of the heart of Christ. And may we also express goodness and kindness in our own lives. May we experience only goodness and kindness in our own lives. And the psalm of the Good Shepherd, concludes with these words. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. Wow, isn't that beautiful? Very consoling. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The house of the Lord, my friends, can be interpreted in different ways. One interpretation of the house of the Lord would be the church. Not only the church, but in the house of the Lord, drawn close to the Blessed Sacrament. Pope St. John Paul II says that the living heartbeat of the Catholic Church is the tabernacle in which we encounter the Eucharistic Lord. Isn't that beautiful? The living heartbeat of the Catholic Church is the tabernacle in which we encounter the most sacred heart of Jesus. Yes. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. There is a temporal interpretation of that, and that would be, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. I will go to the Catholic Church and find my rest in front of the tabernacle or the Blessed Sacrament exposed as we have in our church. Thanks be to God. But I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come, points to heaven. Heaven. My friends, why are we here? Why are we here? Why are we here in this world? The Baltimore Catechism says we're here to know God, to love God, to serve God in this life, so we'd be happy with Him in heaven. But St. Ignatius in Principle and Foundation specifies it in this way. We are created for a purpose. We are created to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God. For the salvation of our mortal souls. We're here to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God, so as to save our mortal souls. So, there's a various interpretations of that last verse. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. Dwelling close to the Blessed Sacrament. Finding our rest, our peace, our solace in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, present in the Blessed Sacrament. Then if we live that out, and beyond the shadow of a doubt, we'll be received into the eternal mansions of heaven. Our Lord says, I'm going now to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, you also may be. My Father's home, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not tell you. I'm going now to prepare a place for you. My friends, the primary purpose of our life is to love God fully and totally with our whole being, so that we will be with God forever in heaven, with Mary, the angels, and the saints. So, my friends, we've had a really good conversation today. A really good conversation today. And I would invite all of you to share our conversation with your many friends. And I would like to impart to all of you my priestly blessing. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.